Times I start on Wednesdays searching for the song that God wants me to sing. And then sometimes it's Friday night or Saturday night, and he gave me part of it. He said, mention. I said, mention what? You know, be more specific. And the title of this song is Mention of His Name.
Okay.
So, you know, worship with me.
Yeah.
Amen. Worship with us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Father, we
thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You're here with the grace of the Savior, with the heart of the Father. You're all we need, and you're here with the hands of the healer, with the power of the Spirit. You're all we need. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name, the silence, wind, and rain. Of your name, Jesus, you're here, you're the provider, all I ever needed, Jesus. Supply. And you're here with wonder-working power. Everything you breathe on coming back to life. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. I know everything will change. Jesus, just the whisper of your name, in the silence, wind, and waves, at the mention of your name. You are my strength. Yeah.
Like imagination?
Yes.
Imagination is good, isn't it?
Yes.
Imagination is good.
Spiritual weapon.
Yeah. Imagination. Let's go on a little trip of imagination this morning. Okay? I want you to imagine with me. Imagine that you are at the pearly gates, as they say. You've died, you've gone to heaven. And, someone meets you there and says, come on, everybody's waiting for you. Everybody's waiting for you, come on. So you go walking through the streets and you're looking around at everything. It's all so beautiful. And you want to stop, you want to look and everything. And he says, you can look all you want, but people are waiting on you. But that's okay. Go ahead and look all you want. You're kind of curious. What do you mean people are waiting on me? You go on with it. Let's see this. You think, I got some folks I want to talk to. I'm going to ask Paul about some of the things he wrote. I want to ask John about some of the things he wrote. You know, I want to ask Abraham about some of the things he went through. I want to talk to some folks here, you know. As you're walking along, you see this big, long line of people. And you just walk right on past them. You say, hey, who's this big, long line of people? What's this all about? You know. And he says, oh, they're waiting. They're waiting to ask you questions.
Mm. Praise God.
Waiting to ask me questions?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. They've been waiting here a long time to ask you questions.
Amen. We know what they want to ask.
Woo. They want to ask me questions. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, I don't understand why they want to ask me questions. He says, well, come on. And you get to the front of the line, the first person waiting, and he hurries you on past that. He says, wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to ask her questions. He says, oh, we can do that later. They'll wait. The king wants to see you. You know, the king of kings, he wants to see you. I'm going to take you there first.
That's good.
So you go on in with him, and just before you go in, he says, oh, by the way, here's your crown. Now, I want to tell you this, I always have to say this. He says, when you take off your crown and throw it at his feet, don't try to hit his feet, okay? Just throw it in the general direction. Just don't try to hit his feet, you know? And you say, well, what if I should hit his foot? I said, well, what you do if you should hit his foot, don't you raise your arms up above your head like this, straight up. Because sometimes he'll kick it and want to do a field goal. right through your hand, arms. So you kind of go, really? And it's just a joke. Come on, it's a joke. We can laugh in heaven, you know? So you go in, you see the king, and throw down your crown at his feet. And you look up and you say, I have a question. Came here past a big long line of people that were waiting to ask me questions. I can't imagine what they want to ask me about. Because I look back at my life and I think, there's so many things, so many dreams I had when I was young. And none of them came true. I kept running into all kinds of problems and, you know, I just didn't work out the way I planned it to. You know, I was going to do great things. And I never got to. First, my parents got sick and I had to take care of my parents. My dad lingered a long time. I had to take care of him. It was a mess. My kids had problems. And finally, you know, my mate had problems and I had to take care of my mate for a long time. I wasn't able to do all those things that I'd planned to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I often missed church because of this. It was just this real struggle. And you know, I really don't understand why all these people want to ask me questions, because I really didn't accomplish anything. And the king says, well, maybe not, but they want to read. They've all read your book, and they want to talk to you. My book? I didn't write a book. I never had a chance to do anything like that. What book? Gee. Book of all the things you did. The book of all the things you did. Been read for years and years. And all these people want to know, how'd you do it? They got questions about the details you left out, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, think about it for a moment. We'll end our little imagination excursion, if you will. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine, we'll do another little imagination excursion. Don't you think this might be something like what happened to Job when he went to heaven? Mm-hmm. You know? People want to ask him questions. But they didn't want to ask him questions about how many sheep he had, how many cattle he had, how much land he had. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to ask those kind of questions, did they? Mm-hmm. What did they want to ask about? They want to ask Job, you suffered so much. How were you able to hang in there? How was it when you were sitting on that ash heap? What went through your head? How were you able to hang on and still glorify God through all of that? Did you know at the time what you were doing? What was going on in heaven between God and Satan? Did you know what was going on? Did you know that your book would be read by thousands of people, millions of people? Mm-hmm. Throughout history, your book would be read. Mm-hmm. All kinds of questions, right? Mm-hmm. So this brings us to our topic for today. Is God good?
Yes.
We said last week he was good, didn't we? What did we talk about last week about him being good? Anybody remember? What did we say about God being good?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
He's good.
Yeah. All the time. He's all the time good. He's our definition of good. We wouldn't know what good was if it wasn't for God, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about last week, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week. We wouldn't know what good was if it wasn't for God, because God is good. Mm-hmm. So if we want to know what God, what good is, we have to look at God. Because yes, what he does is good. Right? Okay, so let's go to 1 Peter 4. We're still in 1 Peter. We're studying 1 Peter. This is biblical. We are still looking at biblical things here. You look at 1 Peter 4 with me. And let's see, Brother Thurston, can you read the first two verses?
Verse 2. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he said, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God."
Okay. All right. This is kind of interesting. Peter's writing to a people who are being persecuted. Mm-hmm. They're having to suffer because they're Christians. Mm-hmm. For no other reason. They're suffering because they're Christians. Mm-hmm. They're being attacked. They're being insulted. All kinds of things. Mm-hmm. There. And so Peter's writing to these folks. And he's talking to them and says, hang in there. Mm-hmm. Hang in there. Christ suffered also. And you're just taking a part of that. You're taking part in his sufferings. You know, he had to suffer for the good news. Right? And so he said, hang in there. Hang in there. So he says here, therefore, he's talking about how Christ suffered. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh. In the flesh he suffered. His body was beaten. Right? He had a crown of thorns pressed into his brow. Right? He bled. He was whipped. He was beaten with rods. So much. Nailed to a tree. It says, he suffered for us. And he, of course, insults. Everything that people bag and say about somebody, they seem like they said it about him. He says, arm yourselves also. Yeah. Get ready. All right? Get ready for battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. When they come at you, the flesh wants to rise up and do what?
Fight.
Fight back, right? The flesh wants to fight back, wants to strike back. Give them evil for evil. Evil for evil. But he says, arm yourselves with the same mind. With the same mind as Christ? Well, Christ didn't strike back, right? We talked about that. He didn't strike back, so we shouldn't strike back. Right? It says, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Mm-hmm. I'm reading from W.E.B., but it says, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh for the lust of men, mm-hmm. but for the will of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? Is it the will of God that we suffer? It's the will of God that we no longer should live the rest of our life, our time in the flesh for the lust of men. That's what it means.
Amen.
Right? That's what it means. If we should suffer, let us suffer for doing good, not for doing evil. Yep. Right? He says, but it's the will of God that you no longer live like you once lived.
Yep.
Doing the things of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Feeding your flesh after the lust of men. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying there. Okay? Is it the will of God that we suffer? That's not the will of God that we suffer. But it's the will of God that we live here on earth and be a light to the Gentiles. Right? To be a light to men. And if you do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer because they're going to do what? There are going to be some that do what? Reject you.
Yeah.
They reject you. They reject your message. Mm-hmm. They get mad. They don't want to hear it. Why don't they want to hear it? I'm not hurting you by what I say, am I? Am I talking about Jesus being king? He died for your sins. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in him, you're going to go to hell. Is that hurting you? I didn't touch you. Is that hurting you? Yes, it's hurting them. How's it hurting them?
They can tell it's true and they don't want the truth.
Conviction, yeah. Conviction. They're feeling convicted. They don't like that feeling. That conviction is saying, what you're doing is bad. It's evil. And they don't like people telling them what you're doing is bad and evil. Do they? No. You go to school and everybody says, everybody hates a snitch. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody hates a snitch. Why do they hate a snitch? Because they don't want anyone telling them they did evil. They don't want the punishment for their sins. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why. Mm-hmm. Not everybody hates a snitch. It's the ones that do evil. Right? That's not true. It's not true. Those who do well, they don't mind. Go ahead and tell folks what I do. Yeah. It doesn't bother me a bit because I don't do evil. Right? Mm-hmm. I have ceased feeding my flesh. I have ceased from sin. Verse 1. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Yeah? Yeah? Mm-hmm. If I'm taking slings and stones and sticks and beatings for doing good, I've stopped doing evil, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've stopped doing evil. And it's okay. You can talk about what I do. Mm-hmm. God is good.
Yes,
he didn't create us to be suffered. Mm-hmm. He didn't create Job so he could suffer. It just comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. It just comes from following Jesus. Yeah. When you do well, there's going to be folks that don't like it. They're not going to like you a bit. And they don't want to hear your message. All right? We need to speak the message, don't we?
Yes.
We need to pray for the folks that they will speak the message of God,
yeah,
regardless of the slings and stones. And we need to speak that message.
Yeah.
But being a Christian means you're going to run into rough times.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're fanatical Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We're fanatical about God. Right?
Yeah.
And we just keep speaking the word anyway. And they get all convicted and say, oh, I don't say it anymore. But we do it anyway. Right?
It's better for them to be punished here on earth than for them to be punished eternally in hell.
Ooh.
That's and true. You have to explain to them. Mm-hmm. To me. It's
sure.
Opinion.
Sure.
So.
In First Peter, just above it, 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You suffer for well doing.
Yeah. They die in that sin, that's a bad deal.
That's bad. That's a bad day right there. Yeah.
So, summing up here, God is good. All right?
Yeah.
He didn't create us, he doesn't bring suffering on us.
No.
All right? We do it by speaking his word, by following Jesus. He didn't bring suffering on Jesus. Jesus brought it on himself because he spoke the word of God. Right? So let's keep that in mind, okay? And just go ahead and speak the word of God.
Yeah.
Because you might just save a few. You might just save a few. People like Nikki Cruz, if y'all remember him, you might just save somebody. All right? And let's, when we're talking to young Christians, and we're mentoring them, I know y'all do, just tell them that. God is not putting suffering on you. God is not, the suffering is coming from where? It's coming from Satan. It's coming from Satan. So don't attribute that to God. God is good. Right? And eventually he's going to take us to a place where there won't be any of that suffering.
Right.
Right? But right now we have the opportunity to speak His word. And when we speak His word, yeah, people don't like it. Amen? But that's okay. The word can bring victory. The word can bring them freedom.
Amen.
The word can cause chains to fall away.
Amen.
The word can set people free. Go ahead.
Many people receive it and they're so glad. They thank God.
Yes. And they love you for it, right? Though some of them do.
And even if you don't go by that, it's God that gives the increase.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
You're supposed to speak His word,
right,
and be His hands and feet.
That's exactly right. But it's not up to you to think that, you know, that salvation comes from God. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase.
We so often feel like our words just...
We take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get that result. Like, I didn't do that. It's called pride. But if you're not, if it's God that's doing the increase, you just did what you're supposed to do. That's exactly right. Give him the glory. Boy, that's good, Stephanie.
You sow the seeds, and He gives the increase. Right. You sow the seeds.
The main person gets saved. The main person gets saved.
That's right. That's right.
Like Paul.
Amen.
Yes, exactly.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
But we've run out of time, so we're going to pray and we'll break. Father, we thank You so much that You are good.
Mm.
We thank You that You do not bring suffering on us.
Jesus.
But we thank You for the opportunity to speak Your word, even if it does bring suffering. We pray that Your word will accomplish Your purposes.
Yes. Thank You, Lord.
And they will not return to You void.
Yes.
Thank You.
We glorify You. We praise Jesus. And we ask the opportunities to just continue being Your servant.
Yes.
And realize Your will in all things. Amen.
Yes.
All right.
Amen.